Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.
You're on Reality Check Radio, Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. Oh, I'm never going to get sick of saying that. Give us a text. Love it. 2057. Email me, inbox@realitycheck.radio. We've got another drop in. This time it's the fabulous Tane Webster. Good morning, Tane.
Good morning, Rodney. How's it going?
I missed you.
Me too.
You didn't say that with quite the enthusiasm. You didn't have quite the enthusiasm that I had.
I guess I'm just a bit tired. It's been a busy month, as you can imagine.
It's been busy. What are we going to cover today, Tane? I thought we were just having a chit-chat.
No, we've actually got some important things to discuss. So given what's happening today, I thought it'd be important to ask, how do government petitions actually work? How do they get processed?
Gosh, you got me scratching my head on standing orders. So a petition could be one person making a petition. They get approved by the Speaker of the House to be in the, you know, correct format. You can't have a petition to execute someone, for example. So it's got to be, you know, proper and not have swear words and stuff. And then you present it to Parliament. It's one of the wonderful things, goes back hundreds of years. And you have an MP, you've got to have an MP to receive it, and then they can table it in the House. And it can get set, it can be received and can get sent off to a select committee. And then the select committee decides what it's going to do with it. Now, this it could not get sent to a select committee. It could get sent to a select committee. If it gets to a select committee, the select committee could say, oh, that's a very interesting thing, or, whoa, we better look into this. So it's up now for Parliament to decide what to do with the petition.
Right.
Not the government, but Parliament. And in your head, it's quite hard, even when you're in Parliament, to appreciate the distinction between Parliament and government. Two very, very different things, even though the government is from MPs that make up the Parliament, and the Parliament, the government is accountable to the Parliament. The Parliament and the government are two very, very separate things constitutionally. And so this is the petition going to Parliament, not to the government. The sad thing is, in New Zealand, because our MPs are very heavily whipped, that and a government has the majority of MPs, we tend to just confuse the two, because Parliament seldom steps outside of what the government wants. Parliament actually should be very antagonistic to the government of the day. And that's a petition, you see. It's going to the Parliament, very often complaining about the actions of the government. But unfortunately, the way it's set up, that the government controls the Parliament. In the UK, MPs can cross the floor. They could support a petition against their own government. It wouldn't be uncommon. Here, it's very uncommon.
How did it get that way in New Zealand? That culture there?
Well, two things. We have a smaller Parliament. The Parliament in the UK is 650 MPs odd, and they're coming and going all over the place. Probably the leader doesn't know all the MPs in their own party, right? So New Zealand is, what, 120 plus a few more in terms of our MMP. So that's been it. The history has been one of a two-party system. So in order to get into politics, you needed to join a party first and become a party person. And so it was pushed upon you to be a party person. We don't have a history of people changing parties like we can do in America and the UK. They stay with the party that they're elected in, or they die as independents. On top of that, we have MMP, which is a shocking system because it concentrates the power into the leadership and into the party hierarchy, because they determine where you are on the list. The party has all the power, and a lot of the power in the party is held, for example, by the party president and the board, who ultimately decide the list. And if they think you've been misbehaving, they're going to put you down the list and you won't stay in Parliament long. So we have a very strong party system, number one. And then for the party to form a government, it needs the majority in the House, and it signs up the minor parties, and barring accidents, they all stick together like glue. That great Benjamin Franklin line, you know, we'll either hang together or hang separately. We'll surely hang separately. So they hang together very tightly. I would like a bit more of a looser arrangement. Funny enough, when you're an MP and when you're a government minister, of course you want it tight because it makes your job easy. But from the people's perspective, we want a bit more chaos, a bit more questioning, a bit tougher time on our governments.
And you mentioned before the party whips, for people that aren't familiar with what they are and their role.
The party whip is a very significant role, very, very significant role, because a party whip basically ensures party discipline. So the party whip is the key to ensuring that your party behaves itself and has the numbers there and votes the right way and does the right thing in the parliament. But the party whip also knows what's going on. Right. And this is the key thing. The party whip knows what's going on. They know what's going on because, you know, so-and-so's having trouble with his girlfriend and his wife's found out about the girlfriend. And the party whip knows this stuff. And it's a big thing in Parliament that you tell the truth to the leader and to the party whip. Very often, the party leader doesn't want to know, right? Because if they get asked, they can say, I know nothing of this. So the party whip is handling all the difficult things that could be occurring in the background. The party whip is managing that. The party whip also oversees the finances of the MPs. So where they're staying, where they're going is checked off by the party whip. If you're not coming to Parliament that day, you need to explain that to the party whip. So that's a very significant and insightful role, powerful, and can be used in what would you say, not ethical ways, because as they say, information is power, and a party whip can make your life as an MP easy, or they could make your life miserable.
Do you know who they are for each of the parties? I don't, off the top of my head.
I don't. I used to know, and funnily enough, typically parties, I don't know how, in the ACT Party, we used to vote for our party whip, I think. And, you know, you'd always vote for the most fair-minded, agreeable person, right? It was quite a good test because you all had an interest in having someone who was fair and reasonable. You wouldn't want someone who was tyrannical. And, of course, in recent times, National had that Jamie Lee Ross as a party whip. And, of course, he was turned out to be untrustworthy. He was recording MPs secretly and then having information over them. And that's what we found out about in public. Goodness knows what was happening behind the scenes. Politics. Yes, indeed. Party whip. I'd forgotten all about that stuff. I do recall one time when I was in Parliament, and I don't drink now at all. And I've occasionally drunk a lot in times, just been of a mood. And oftentimes in Parliament, you'd go to a function and you just find yourself drinking too much. And one time I did this, and I went out with friends, and it ended up being very late. And Parliament was an urgency, and so we didn't start going out till 10 o'clock at night, and it got out of hand. And I slept in. Only time in my life I've slept in. And when I awoke, my phone was just filled with messages, where the hell are you? Because I was supposed to be in Parliament at 9 o'clock. And I wasn't. Unbelievably, I'm ashamed to admit this, I was out cold. And I staggered off to Parliament at 10 o'clock in the morning, feeling very naughty and letting everyone down and letting myself down by my poor behaviour. And I didn't know quite how to handle it. And I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll ring Murray McCulley of the National Party because he's always in trouble. And he will give me the best advice. And he did. So I did exactly what Murray said. So I walked into Parliament, into the debating chamber, plonked myself down beside my party leader, Richard Preble, and he turned around and looked at me and says, where the hell have you been? And I looked at him and I said, Prep, you actually don't want to know. And he looked at me and said, oh, okay. So that's how I got around that little upset. I just said, you do not want to know, to the leader or to the party whip. Because, and they think, well, if I don't want to know, it must have been bad. Isn't that a terrible story that I've told against myself?
It's all here on RCR only.
It's all here on RCR. I've never forgotten that, and I felt terrible. There you go.
Cool. I think that's a pretty good first politics explained back after the fundraiser.
There you go. Candid. Things. I have to say, there wouldn't be many MPs that haven't made mistakes, you know, because it's a cooker, it's a cooker pressure experience. And when you see an MP in trouble in the media, you always wait to see if there's a pattern. And genuinely there is. I had one lovely MP, and she was just the most well-behaved person. But one time, she over-imbibed at a function, and she became quite silly. And she came into the chamber, and I actually had to get her out. And it was very difficult to, because she was, her personality had changed. She never normally had a drink. So it was a odd moment. So when you see your Julianne Genters, and Golraz Gumram, and you think, oh, they shoplifted, oh, they got angry with someone. Is this a pattern or a one-off? Because you know that if it's a pattern, it'll quickly come out. And, of course, what we found with the two of them is it's been a pattern. So that's not good. We all make mistakes, but sometimes it's when you keep repeating them there's a problem. There you go, Tane. Hey. It's great to have you back. It's great to have Rally Check Radio back. We're going to have politics explained on a regular basis. And we've covered off petitions, whoop, bit of bad behaviour on my part. And send us a text 2057, email us at inbox@rallycheck.radio. That was Tane Webster. Thank you.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.